Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. We will be considering the subject for the second time. This is the last of the series on the Sabbath, just two of two here this morning. And so this morning we will once again take up the subject from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. Hear again God's word. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. When you take a look around the church today, it's easy to see why God would begin the fourth commandment with the word remember. You see, the fourth commandment is one that people have a tendency to forget. It's also one that people have a tendency to neglect. And the fact that any of God's people would forget or neglect this gracious commandment goes to show us just how terrible and deceiving sin can be. For God's people to neglect this commandment is to neglect their own well-being. And so, like all sin, it not only displeases our Lord, but it also hurts us. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, says the Lord. Well, the word remember here means much more than just don't forget the Sabbath day. The word remember carries with it the idea of holding a memorial service on the Sabbath day. This becomes clear when we compare the reading of the fourth commandment as we just read from Exodus with the reading that is found in Deuteronomy in chapter 5. In Deuteronomy 5:12, the command there begins like this: observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And so therefore, to remember the Sabbath day is to observe it. To remember it is to celebrate or to memorialize the works of God that are tied to this day. And as we learned in the last sermon, the Sabbath is a day in which we reflect upon and celebrate God's works of creation, redemption, and consummation. Each Lord's Day, as we cease or stop from our work, we are reminded of how God worked for 6 days when He created all things and then rested on the seventh day. As we stop from our work, we're reminded of how God created and stopped from His work. On this day, we also celebrate our redemption, for it was on the Christian Sabbath that the Lord Jesus Christ rose victoriously from the grave. In His resurrection, we have the promise of our resurrection. In His resurrection, we have the promise of eternal life itself. And so each Lord's Day, we celebrate His resurrection and our redemption. And we also celebrate the future consummation. Every Christian Sabbath points forward or foreshadows the eternal Sabbath that we will observe throughout eternity. Every Lord's Day, we rest and we worship, and in so doing, we get a taste of heaven. Each Lord's Day reminds us of the eternal rest and worship that we will enjoy at the last great day. So when we're commanded to remember or to observe the Sabbath day, it means we're to celebrate the works of God in creation, redemption, and consummation. Well, the next part of the fourth commandment says that we are to keep the Sabbath holy. To keep the Sabbath holy. Well, if we're faithful in remembering or observing or celebrating the Christian Sabbath, then we will be on the right track toward keeping it holy. You see, for something to be holy is for something to be set apart. It's for something to be treated as unique or different. And so therefore, the Christian Sabbath is a day that is to be set apart from the other 6 days of the week. This means that the way we approach the day and the things that we do on this day will be different from any other day of the week. As we look at the scriptures, we will find that the Sabbath is unique in at least two ways. The Christian Sabbath is, first of all, a day of worship. And secondly, it's a day of rest. In the Old Testament, we learn that the Sabbath was a day when God's people came together for worship. Leviticus chapter 23 speaks at length about the holy convocations of the Old Testament saints. And as New Testament believers, we still gather together for worship on God's holy day. The day has changed from Saturday to Sunday, but what we do on this day has not changed. It's still a day of worship. Now, some Christians object to observing the Sabbath for the reason that they believe every day is a day of worship. They look at people like us and they wonder why we would want to limit our worship of God to only one day of the week. Well, let's be clear about something. We Sabbatarians agree that we should be worshiping the Lord every day of the week. Every day we ought to strive to worship the Lord privately and also as families. On this we agree. However, we also believe that one whole day out of seven ought to be taken up in spiritual exercise and worship along with rest. You see, while many Christians may have good intentions in claiming that every day is the Lord's day, the fact is they aren't able to set aside every day for uninterrupted attention to the things of God. In other words, they aren't able to set aside every day as the Sabbath is to be set aside. It's impossible. You have to work 6 days, so you can't treat every day like the Sabbath. Now, sadly, and even ironically, Christians who hold the position that every day is the Lord's day will often fall into the unintended consequence that no day is the Lord's day. God would have us, as His people, to set aside one whole day, one complete whole day out of seven as a day of worship and rest. So those who believe that every day is the Lord's day and that every day is a day of worship will never experience the blessings that come with keeping the Lord's day the way in which He intended it to be kept. You see, they're missing out. By not keeping one day in seven, by pretending or assuming that every day is the Lord's day, they will never experience the blessings and the benefits of those who take one whole day out of seven every week to give to the Lord and to do the things of the Lord. Along these same lines, it's worth noting that in the early church, the association between the Lord's day and worship was very clear. Following the command and example of our Lord Jesus Christ, those who belonged to the Lord gathered for worship on the day that belongs to the Lord. And furthermore, if every day is the Lord's day, then which day of the week was it that the Apostle John was in the Spirit when he saw the revelation? He said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. You see, if every day is the Lord's day, then it wouldn't make sense to refer to a particular day as being the Lord's day. Which day is it? Yes, in a certain sense, all the days of the week belong to the Lord. However, there is a particular day that Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, claims in a special way, in a way that He doesn't claim the other 6 days of the week. It is His day, and it is His day in a particularly marvelous way. It's His day because it is on that day He rose from the grave, having conquered sin on our behalf, and it is a day to be commemorated throughout the rest of eternity. That's His day. It is the Lord's day, and it's a particular day, and it's to be kept holy unto the Lord. Now, there is no doubt that we all live all of our lives in the presence of God. God is everywhere, and He sees all things at all times. But as we live life in this world, for 6 days of each week, Christians engage in many of the same activities that the unbelievers do. Both believers and unbelievers go to work each day of the week. Both go to the grocery store. Both go out to fill their cars with gas. Both pay bills and things like this. However, one day a week, we are very different from the unbelievers. Only Christians gather together on God's holy day to participate in the holy activity of worshiping our Lord. If we don't set aside one day in seven, we're just like the rest of the world, going on with the busyness of life and setting aside no time to give attention to the things of the Lord. But God in His infinite wisdom has given us one day in seven to do these things, to set apart from the rest of the days of the week. See, the Lord's Day is a day not only that we set aside, but it's a day that sets us aside. While the rest of the world goes on living life on Sunday as every other day of the week, we Christians take a break from the everyday buzz to be reminded that there is more to life than what we do 6 days out of the week. We take a break from our busy lives to be reminded that we are not our own and that we've been bought with a price. And as tithing expresses our conviction that all which we have belongs to the Lord, so does keeping the Sabbath express our conviction that all of our days belong to the Lord. In fact, the Sabbath is called a sign of the people of God. So just as circumcision and now baptism is a sign of the people of God, so is the Sabbath. So does the Sabbath continue to be. We read this in Exodus, in chapter 31, in verses 12 through 18. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days. The seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations." Listen to this. "As a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And when he had made an end of speaking with him," speaking to Moses, that is, on Mount Sinai, "he," God, "gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God." Too many of us Christians are living life stuck in the fast lane. We are so busy living life during the week that we rarely, if ever, slow down to feed our souls or spend time doing things of eternal importance. Many of us are too caught up in this temporal life. Some of us are so busy that we don't even stop on the Lord's Day. This is why some churches now have worship services on Saturday night and on other nights of the week. You see, if you're too busy or you can't make Sunday morning, then why not stop in on Saturday night? And if those times don't work for you, then just make it to one of our other midweek services. It's all good. It's all the same. But the fact is, people are too busy today. They're too busy living life. Too busy running around, taking their kids from one practice to another. Too busy doing this thing or that thing that they neglect the important things, the eternal things that matter most. Christians who can't or won't stop and take time out for their soul during the week or on the Sabbath are living life like unbelievers. You see, as Christians, we need to keep in mind the fact that this life is not all there is. For us, there is life after death. We don't have to cram every earthly experience into our life schedules because there's more life ahead of us. It's easy to see why the unbeliever might want to experience as many things in this life as possible. In their mind, this is their only opportunity. However, that's not the case for us. We can slow down, and we can enjoy this life and prepare ourselves for the life to come. Let's face it, folks. In the eternal picture, it won't matter how many sports you were able to get your kids involved in. It won't matter how many jobs you worked. It won't matter how many things you owned. That being the case, at least one day a week, let us stop and remember that there is an eternal life ahead of us, and let us redeem the time that we have by preparing ourselves for the life to come. And throughout the week, let us do the same. Let us not limit it to one day a week, but let us do the same and have the same perspective the rest of the days of the week. If there are days when you have to decide between taking your kids to practice or having family worship or going to the prayer meeting, then miss the practice. Let us learn to major in the things of eternal importance. There will be plenty of practices after that. But let us focus on those things that matter most in this life. Let us raise our kids in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Let us help them to understand that there are things that are more important in this life than those things that are temporal. Let us train our kids in the ways of the Lord. Now, given the fact that the Lord has given us His holy day to observe once every week, it seems odd to hear people talk about how they can't wait for the up-and-coming church retreat so they can get away from everyday life and get recharged spiritually. The reason it's odd to hear such a thing is because Christians can experience this very thing every Christian Sabbath. Every Sabbath should be set apart from our everyday lives. And every Sabbath we should be getting recharged spiritually for what lies ahead in the week to come. Folks, while retreats are wonderful times, and they are wonderful times, we don't have to wait for retreats to experience these things. If we are faithful in keeping the Sabbath day holy unto the Lord, we can experience these things every single week of the year. Oh no, we cherish those times. We cherish the times we can get away and just fellowship with one another and dedicate time to reading the Word, but that's what the Sabbath is for. And you can do that every single week of the year. The same thing can be said with regard to holy days. It is beyond my understanding how it is that Christians would set aside only one day a year in April to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, or to set aside one day in December to celebrate the birth of Christ. Folks, every Lord's Day is Easter. Every Lord's Day is Easter. Every Lord's Day we celebrate the birth, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why would any Christian want to limit such times of celebration to one or two times a year? That's ridiculous. It is something to be celebrated every week. Every day, in fact, of our lives. Now, friends, the Lord's Day is the only holy day on our calendar. And in this sense, it can be said that we have a liturgical calendar. You see, every Sunday is holy. Every Sunday is holy and is a holy day in which we celebrate the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No other day of the week or year can or should compete with the Sabbath. And since God has done away with all other holy days, we must be careful to not take it upon ourselves to create or to observe other days as holy. We are commanded, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. It's one day that is holy unto the Lord, and only one day. Now moving on, the fourth commandment goes on to say, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son nor your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. And therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now you'll notice that the Lord says, 6 days you shall labor. From this we may gather that this command also forbids laziness and idleness. 6 days you shall labor. 6 days of every week we are to occupy ourselves with the work of our lives. Now of course this does not mean that we must go into the workplace 6 days out of seven. But it does mean that we should not become lazy or idle on those 6 days of the week. They ought to be used to take care of all those things that we need to take care of. And in fact, we should use all those 6 days as a way of preparing ourselves for the Sabbath. Take care of all the things that would bother you or trouble you that, on the Sabbath, that you might be able to set apart the Sabbath free and clear of all those things that you have to worry about the other 6 days of the week. Well, after telling us that we should labor for 6 days, the Lord goes on to tell us that we are to cease from labor 1 day a week. As mentioned earlier, the Sabbath is to be set apart as holy. And one of the ways that the Sabbath is set apart is by not laboring on that day the way in which we labor the other 6 days of the week. That's one of the ways we make it different, is by not working the way we work on the other 6 days of the week. And so, kids, that means homework and chores and those things ought to be done before the Lord's Day, because homework and yard work and things like that all end with the word what? Work. So don't do those things on the Lord's Day. You don't have to do them on the Lord's Day. Do them the other 6 days of the week and be free of those things on the Lord's Day. Now the Sabbath is to be set aside as a day of worship and rest. And rest. And I'd like to emphasize rest. The Old Testament emphasized rest. And so should we, if we're to observe the day properly. Christians, let me exhort you. Take advantage of the fact that God, the great physician, has prescribed 1 day in 7 for you to take a nap and to not feel guilty about it. Take advantage of the fact that He has given you 1 day that you don't have to worry about the things that you do every other day of the week. Take advantage of the blessings that the Lord has given you in giving to you the Sabbath. Let us take advantage of these things. They're for our benefit. Sabbath was made for man, and so we need to remember that. The fourth commandment not only commands us to cease from work, but it also commands us not to make others work for us on this day. Of course, the Sabbath was given, as we noted in the last sermon, was given for all of mankind. We have no right to needlessly cause others to work. Therefore, by shopping, or by eating at restaurants, or doing things on the Lord's Day that cause others to work, we are breaking the Sabbath and causing them to break the Sabbath. And by the way, it's a very weak argument to say that a business would be open whether or not we went there. This is nothing more than an attempt for us to justify our sin. God has commanded all of mankind to observe His Sabbath. And just because the world decides that it's going to profane the Sabbath does not give you or me the right to participate in its sin. We have no such right. God tells us that we are not to work. We, nor our sons, nor our daughters, our servants or animals, nor the strangers within the gates. And so we must live accordingly. And we should be careful not to cause others to work needlessly or unnecessarily. I believe it was Pastor D. James Kennedy who once told the story of how he had become convicted of keeping the Lord's Day holy. He says that one day he and some others had gone out to lunch after church one day. And as they were being served, he asked the waitress if she had gone to church that day. And she had responded something like this, "But if it weren't for people like you, yes, I would have made it to church today." And needless to say, I believe that was the last time he decided to eat out on the Sabbath. We need to be careful. We don't realize it, but you don't know who's having to work on the Lord's Day and who we are causing to work on the Lord's Day. Whether or not we know they're Christians doesn't matter. Even the stranger within the gate of Israel was not to be made to work. And so we need to have regard. Some people have that attitude, well, let the unbelievers serve us. No. God has commanded all of mankind, believer and unbeliever alike, that they ought to rest 1 day in 7. And so we need to be careful to guard this day. In fact, if I might add, to keep the Lord's Day is also, the word keep there is to guard. The Lord has already sanctified the day. He is the one who made it holy. We as His people need to guard it. That we ought not to let the things of the world come in and affect that Lord's Day. We need to guard it ourselves and take advantage of all the blessings that we can gain from it. Wouldn't it be great if Christians everywhere would simply refuse to do business on the Lord's Day? Wouldn't that be phenomenal? Businesses would have to stay closed on Sunday because there wouldn't be enough business to justify their being open. What a testimony that would be to this world. If only the Christians, if every Christian, every person who claims to be a Christian would not do these things on the Sabbath, that would have a major impact on our culture. We ought to pray to that end, and we ought to be encouraging our brothers and sisters in Christ to reconsider the fourth commandment, that they might participate in all the blessings that we gain in it. Now, something to keep in mind with regard to this commandment is the fact that the Sabbath was a memorial of God's delivering his people from Egypt. When we read the command as it's found in Deuteronomy, this becomes very evident. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, you can turn there if you'd like, Deuteronomy 5, 13 through 15. We see here the fourth commandment is tied to God's delivering his people from Egypt, and therefore was to serve, in a sense, as a memorial of that deliverance. Deuteronomy 5, 13 through 15. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. You see, by releasing laborers and servants from work on the Sabbath, one celebrated release from slavery in Egypt. In Egypt, God's people had no rest. It wasn't until the Lord delivered them that they experienced the rest. And so therefore, to cause others to work without a day of rest was to treat people as they were once wrongly treated. And it was to remind them of the bondage that they had once known. And so likewise, to give others a day of rest was a reminder of God's people, as a reminder to God's people of the rest that the Lord had provided for them in delivering them from Egypt. The same holds true today. As we see people laboring in this world without rest, we are reminded of the bondage that we once had to sin. And to see people seeing from their labors one day a week, we are reminded of our deliverance from the bondage of sin and death. Of course, all this points forward to the eternal rest that God's people will one day enjoy in heaven. And so we keep that in mind from week to week as well. Now, unfortunately, nowadays, even Christian bookstores are open on the Lord's Day. Some churches, and especially the mega churches, have even gone so far to have coffee shops within their huge church buildings. And we're not talking about people simply serving others or being hospitable. These are real, actual working coffee shops open for business. And these things are usually done all in the name of ministry. Well, if that were truly the case, then there would be no need to charge people for the books or to charge people for the coffee, would there? If it were truly an act of ministry, there would be no changing of money on this day. Given what our Lord did to the money changers at the temple, it's frightening to consider what our Lord thinks about these things going on in the courts of his churches here and now. You know, it's sad but true. Many of us Christians have a low regard for the first table of God's law. If we were to be honest with ourselves, most of us have a higher view of the second table than we do the first. This is why many Christians can break the first four commandments and not be overly troubled by it. Think about it. A Christian can worship God sinfully or take the Lord's name in vain or break the Sabbath, and in many eyes, it's no big deal. He's committed no great offense. However, if we hear of a Christian committing adultery, or committing theft, or committing murder, then we would say that kind of sin is a very big deal. Why is that? Well, I would suggest to you that too often we have a higher view of man than we do of God. You see, for us to think that it's worse to commit adultery or murder than it is to worship God sinfully or to profane the Sabbath is for us to have a higher view of man than we do of God. It's for us to be more concerned about committing sin against our fellow man and committing sin against our holy God. Folks, all sin is evil and wicked. And ultimately, all sin is against our holy God. He's given the whole table, the first table and the second table, and they are all His law. We must learn to have a high view of all of God's law, not just the laws pertaining to life with our fellow man. In addition to worship and rest, the Sabbath is also a day in which we can perform acts of necessity and mercy. There may be times when an emergency comes up and you end up having to work on the Lord's Day. Those times are out of your control. And the Lord knows that. You need to do what you need to do. But there are also certain lawful occupations, like nursing, or being a policeman, or being a fireman, that requires people to work on the Sabbath. Such things fall into the works of necessity. Those are things we need to have going on around us for the better of the people. And God is aware of that. But even they need the Lord's Day. And so if you find yourself or a friend of yours in an occupation like this, encourage them to consider perhaps switching on and off on certain Lord's Days, that they might be able to come and to rest on the Lord's Day and to be recouped by keeping the Sabbath day holy. They need it just as well as we do. As we look at the ministry of Jesus, we will quickly learn that He made it a point to perform acts of mercy on the Sabbath. In fact, He did it so often that the Pharisees regularly accused Him of being a Sabbath breaker. However, Jesus never did break the Sabbath. Instead, He taught us the true meaning of the Sabbath, as He did with all the other laws of the Lord. And one of the things that we learn from Him is that the Sabbath is a good day to perform acts of mercy. Most of us are too busy during the week to be able to get involved in any sort of mercy ministry. Well, the Sabbath is a day in which you can find time to do those kinds of things. Keep in mind that our time here on earth will likely be the only time that we can participate in ministries of mercy. In heaven, there won't be any mercy to have to minister. Mercy will already have been given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a certain sense in which in this earth and in this life, this is your chance, this is your opportunity to minister mercy to people here on earth. I'm encouraged by what goes on at Percival from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. Over there, every Lord's Day, they go out before the service and they go spend time at the nursing home talking with people who live there and just sharing and fellowshipping with people who live at the nursing home. That's a good way to get mercy, act of mercy into the Lord's Day. Some other ideas might be things like visiting people in the hospital. If Mr. Bressler is still in the hospital this day and won't be released till tomorrow, it'd be very good for some of us to go over and to say hi to him and let him know he's loved and to spend time talking about the things of the Lord with him. Getting involved in helping the hungry and the needy through various Christian groups in the Lord's Day is also a good thing to participate in. There are many ways we can incorporate acts of mercy on the Sabbath day, and I would encourage you all to give some thought to this. Use the Lord's Day to its fullest. Rest, worship, and perform acts of mercy as you're able. I would encourage you to think about that. The Lord's Day is also a good day to read the Scriptures and to read other spiritual writings. And it's a wonderful day to spend time in prayer. After all, how many times have you said that you wished your life wasn't so hectic, that you would have more time to dig deeply into the Scriptures or to read this or that book on theology? Well, we always make time for the things we like to do. And so the Lord's, if you really want to find time to read and you really want to find time to pray and to do these things, you can find it. It's available to you on the Lord's Day. You don't have to do any other thing. There's nothing required of you other than rest and worship. And so what a perfect day to set apart time on the Lord's Day to read the Scriptures and to read theological works and to grow in your understanding of the Scriptures. Now, it's important for all of us to understand that none of us, not one of us here in this place, is able to keep the Sabbath perfectly. None of us can keep any of the commands perfectly. Sometimes criticism is made of the Westminster Divines as you look at the directory for worship and the things that concerning the Sabbath day, how to spend the Sabbath day, that they're too strict, that it's impossible to do those things that they require within those sections. Well, think about it. The law itself is perfect, and we're unable to do anything within the law perfectly. So all they're doing is keeping the high standard that God has put in place. And so just because the standard is high, and just because we can't do those things perfectly, does not mean we can therefore throw them all aside and live life as we please. We're not free to break the fourth commandment any more than we are free to murder or to steal. Our failure to keep God's law should be something that we readily admit, and it should be something that drives us to the cross of Christ again and again and again. From our failures, we learn more and more about our sinful nature, and we also learn more about our need for Christ and for forgiveness of our sins. We also learn earnestly to seek the Lord and the grace of the Holy Spirit to be renewed more and more after the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember also that the requirements which God has given to us in this command are not meant to be burdensome. The Sabbath is to be a delight, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. The Sabbath was created for man, not the other way around. Now listen, don't get caught up in the restrictions of the Sabbath, but rather get caught up in the privileges of the Sabbath. It's not meant to be a day of do's and don'ts. You'll notice that if you were to surround yourself with the do's of the commandment, that you will not have any time to worry about what you weren't able to do on the Sabbath. When you find yourself worshiping God and resting as you should on the Sabbath, you'll find that you aren't concerned about what you might have missed out on that day at the mall or missed out that day on television. You won't even be concerned about those things because you'll be so blessed in having done the things that God would have you to do on His holy day. Realize that it is a privilege that God would set aside one day in seven in order that you could be free from all labor and free from all concerns in order to worship Him and to think about Him all day long, uninterrupted by the troubles of life. It is also a privilege to have a day in which you can rest and receive the rest that you will need for the coming week. God knew that we would all burn out if we didn't rest one day a week. I ask you this morning, are you burnt out? If so, maybe you're not resting as you should on the Sabbath. Maybe you need to reexamine your life and the schedule of your life and set aside the Sabbath day as holy unto the Lord and rest in it. You know, it's sad to say, but the broader church in this day and age, for the most part, is becoming more and more antinomian in her practices. We live in an age that is characterized by a deep desire for lawlessness, even in the church. Historical Christian distinctives, things like Sabbath keeping, things like singing the Psalms a cappella, things like infant baptism, which have been part of the church from her very inception, have in the last 100 to 200 years been done away with in most churches today. This only goes to show us that what is not regularly practiced and taught in the church and in the family is doomed to fade away over time. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, we find the following commandment given to parents. I ask you parents to please give special attention to these words, as I know they are familiar to you. Deuteronomy 6 and 7, and these words, speaking of the Ten Commandments, which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Parents, especially you husbands and fathers, it is your duty to ensure that your family is keeping the Sabbath. By doing so, you are preparing the next generation of Christians to uphold God's commandments. Perhaps the Lord would bless such obedience and not allow the practice of Sabbath observance to become a forgotten thing of the past, like many of our other distinctives. Teach your children well. As we conclude, I'd just like to leave you with these convicting questions that come from one man, where he asked this: where are the pastors with the courage to preach their people's obligation to keep the Sabbath day holy? Where are the church members who refuse to do unnecessary work or shopping on their Lord's holy day? Where are the Christian businessmen who, as an act of obedient faith, close their business even when the competition is open and trust God to bless them for their obedience? Where are the professional athletes who refuse to play on the Lord's day because of their Christian convictions? Where are the Christian real estate agents who refuse to hold an open house on the Sabbath? What tremendous blessing will come upon our land when Christians repent of their careless indifference to the things of God and begin to keep the Sabbath day holy to the Lord. Amen. Please join your hearts with me again in prayer.